Speaker will be from Montgomery area. I mean, not Montgomery area. I'm sorry. Northeast area, Baltimore, and I give you Janet G.
Boy, he's tough. First thing he says is, where's your home group? And where is that? What's the name of it? What's your clean date? I felt like I called him to ask him to be my sponsor. Because let me tell you what, when I called the woman who is my sponsor today and who has been my sponsor for almost 20 years, that's what she did. I was like, hi, you don't know me, but Linda C. said you would be a really good sponsor for me. So I was wondering, you know, would you sponsor me? And she says, how much clean time do you have? How many meetings do you go to a week? What service positions do you hold? What step are you on? I was like, sponsor from hell, what have I done? Because my previous two sponsors were like, oh, you are so willing, this is fabulous. Well, let me tell you what, the honeymoon was over. Because I had signed up for some real recovery. So I want to read two definitions.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Janet. I'm an addict. Thank you so much. Sometimes I get so, you know, I'm anonymous. I saw this guy. It said, you know what his name tag said? It said addict. And I wondered if you yelled out, hey, addict, would he actually turn around? Okay. You know what that is? That is dangerous shit. Can you just learn something really important about me? The thing I had to learn, and what's so amazing about the sponsor that I have today, is that I am a thinker. I think about everything. Oh my goodness. Yes. And that is so, you know, there is nobody. Thank you. He had a bumper sticker that says, don't believe everything you think. Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, I don't think that there is anybody too stupid to get this program. I, however, know a few people who are too fucking smart to get this program. Okay? I'm related to one of them. Very smart. Very smart. Three-piece suit, six-figure income, track marks. And the first time he went to treatment, I had 18 months clean. And I have 23 years clean. And I only say that because that's a lot of pain for a lot of years. You know, it's hard. You know, my mother says, I'm totally off topic, so I will refocus myself, I swear to God, at some point. I'm off the hook today. Look, I've been crying since yesterday. I swear to God, I walked into the convention center. I wasn't here a half an hour, and I already had two fucking amends to make, okay? But I had to go home to my hotel room, cry a little bit, pray about it before I could come back and make those amends. So, and I'll tell you about that in just a second. So, maybe if I don't forget, I wanted to tell you about it. Support, you know, as in we are fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Bear all or part of the weight of, okay? Be capable of sustaining. I really like that one. Be capable of fulfilling adequately. Give assistance to. Provide with a home and the necessities of life. So when I got here, I thought that was all about putting a dollar in the basket. Okay? Because I love this. Suggestion. No fucking suggestions. There's shit you need to do. Okay? I mean, If you want to look at them as suggestions because that makes it easier for you to do it, that's fine. Come on now, we got some suggestions for you. Okay? But if you think that means that those things are optional, we'll see when you get back. Because I'm staying here. And I don't want you to think for one moment that because I celebrated 23 years on November 16th, that this has been easy for me. Not even this year. This year has probably been one of the toughest years I've had in 10 years. I've thought about getting high every day for the last 4 months. And you know, I know some of you will be going, well, I don't know what kind of fucking program she's working. And I'm going to tell you, I'm working a good enough program that 4 months I haven't gotten high. You know, when you get a little clean time under your belt and you share about wanting to get high, it makes other people really uncomfortable. Because I don't know, like we get here and we think that, yeah, we're addicts. I got that. I'm an addict. I'm powerless. But I won't always be powerless. Someday, I won't even want to ever use again. And that is true for some people. My husband has lost the desire to use. Don't even think about it. Whatever. Good for him. That is not the case for me. And you know, sometimes I think that's a blessing because it forces me to work my ass off. You know? My home group, Together We Can, Monday night's the best home group on Berryman's Lane in Reisterstown. If y'all want to come on out. We are a literature text study meeting. We don't have speakers. The literature does not lie. You read a paragraph and you share or you pass. We rarely finish whatever piece of literature we've chosen to read. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is that each paragraph is important. Okay? So, I thought supporting Narcotics Anonymous was about putting a dollar in the basket. And I had to say to myself, when I only had a dollar, and I'm thinking, well, do I save this dollar for a soda tomorrow at lunch? Yeah. Or do I put the dollar in the basket? Yeah. See, I like to equate everything to when I was using, because it really gives you some perspective, right? So, like, I've got a dollar, and I can get a joint, or some lines of meth, or a shot of Jack Daniels, because I like to, you know, do whatever. Not just not addictive things. I didn't do any drugs you could get addicted to. So would I save that dollar for my soda tomorrow, or would I buy that? Well, obviously, I'm in Narcotics Anonymous. Y'all know what the answer is, right? So I would put a dollar in the basket. Well, the other thing I was told is my first service commitment is my home group. That is supporting the program. That is sustaining the program. And being a part of a home group, I don't know. I don't know what some people think being a part of a home group is. But it's not my idea of it. My home group, you join my home group, it's an 8 o'clock meeting, you need to be there at 7:30. All the home group members need to be there at 7:30, because if you're not, we're going to give you shit. Because how are we supposed to get to know you for the meeting before the meeting? How are we supposed to be a home if we don't gather? Right? Together. How am I supposed to know what's going on with you if you never give me the chance to talk to you? If you never give me the chance to say, hey, and how are you supposed to get to know that I've been thinking about getting high every day for 4 fucking months, if you won't bother to show up and ask me how I am? See, I share that. People don't really believe me because, you know, I got 23 years. You know? I don't know what they think. One of the women I sponsor and I were talking about it the other day. I've actually had this happen to me. Hey, how you doing? I'm all fucked up. Hey, that's great.
Come on, Janet.
And you go. See, because the problem with asking me how I am is that I'm going to fucking tell you. So if you don't have a minute, don't bother. And if I ask you how you're doing, I want to know. I don't want you to tell me you're fine if you feel like your heart's falling out. I don't want you to tell me you're fine if you think when I leave here I'm going to hurt myself. Because I'm so busy, I got all this clean time, you know, I don't have time for you, and I'm so important, and all that crap. Because what if somebody who had clean time when I got clean did that to me? Didn't stand there and listen to me whine about the same shit for every day. Because that's what I did. My sponsor. I was talking to her, I had 12 years clean. I'm whining about my ex-husband. He wasn't my ex at that point. And she says to me, Janet, shut up. She says, I just can't take it anymore. I've been listening to you whine about the same shit for 8 years. I can't do it. Now, I have never raised my voice to my sponsor. I have never hung up on her. I don't argue with her, even though I know she's wrong. Because I seem to remember that I called her and asked her to be my sponsor. I don't remember her walking up to me at a meeting and going, hey, honey, I'm going to be your sponsor. Okay? So I need to value that relationship and treat it that way. So I waited till I hung up the phone to cuss her out. But let me tell you what. That woman was practicing the seventh tradition in my life. She was being fully self-supporting to me.
Wow.
Okay? And her contribution to me was the commitment that she made the day she said yes, which is, I will be your witness.
Uh-oh.
That's what she says to me. I am your witness because you can't see what the fuck's going on. Oh, come on now. And it's the truth, because I'm standing here, looking there. I'm not looking here. That's what her job is. And her commitment to me and her love for the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous is demonstrated in the fact that she tells me the truth every time I fucking ask her. Which is sometimes why she doesn't get a call for a while. Because I just know what she's going to say.
Yeah.
But you know, you get pained up enough. Uh-huh. And you finally make the phone call. And then she says something I wasn't expecting. Yeah. And I'm like, damn. She agreed with me. She told me it was all right. And then, you know, believe me, it wasn't one of those things where she wasn't all right. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, if it's all about a buck in the basket, which is important, I think a dollar in the basket is very important. Do you know that in this area, in the Free State region, we have one of three hotlines in the world? There's only three in the world where when you call the number, an addict answers the phone. If you go to Phoenix, Arizona, dial the hotline, you know, the number, press 1 for meetings on Monday, press 2 for meetings on Tuesday, press 3, you know, I mean, and that's cool. And I've certainly done that and gotten to a meeting and then been able to find an addict to talk to, which is, you know, good. However, there's something very powerful about, you pick up the phone, it says Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah.
And you know that it's not some whatever, or a machine, or even an, you know, we used to have an answering service. And, you know, people called and they'd start, and she'd be like, no, I'm just here to take a message. Someone will call you back. Can you imagine some of the things that people told her before she got a chance to say? So your dollar in the basket helps make that possible. Okay, well, let's take that another step further. What do you think that if you're one of the people that takes one of the 36 shifts on that hotline? I mean, I'm talking fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Okay, this whole special worker shit. Come on now. Uh-oh. I need to answer the phone. I worked a shift on the hotline for 11 years. I loved it. I loved it. Was it inconvenient? Absolutely. Were there days where I thought if one more motherfucker with 4 years calls up to whine when they should be calling their network? Yeah, there were days I thought that. But you know what? Obviously, they didn't feel comfortable calling their network. They needed to call the hotline and have an addict answer the phone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, my God. How powerful is that? Did you... Oh, I can't do it.
Do it.
Do it? Oh, you know. Did you know that the executive director of Narcotics Anonymous makes as much as the vice president of the United States? Let's talk special workers, baby. See, because we are not necessarily fully self-supporting through our own contributions. World Services is fully self-supporting through our literature sales.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. We fucked up, guys. You and me. Because we turned the running of the business portion over to our fellowship to people we hired. Okay, and I'm not saying they're not addicts. I'm not saying they're not well-intentioned. But I think $202,000 a year, fuck, I'll take that job. Oh, I'm sorry, plus 401k and... benefits. Now, how do I know that? Because it's public knowledge. I didn't, like, you know, peek over his shoulder and look at his paycheck or something. And I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming you. I'm blaming me. It's out of control. We're pumping literature. Can I see a show of hands of how many people helped to write the It Works How and Why? Look around, people. There's six hands in this room. In this room. Okay, here's a cool question. How many people in this room helped write the STEP working guides? Okay, a few more hands. You know why? Not because I'm a writer, because I showed up. It didn't matter in my literature committee if you had 30 days or 30 years. Your input was valued and written down. And you can't tell me that somebody with 30 days doesn't know something about the first step. Because I don't know how the hell you get 30 days without some kind of surrender. Some kind of admission of powerlessness. So now we're talking fully self-supporting. I fucking show up for Narcotics Anonymous. Okay? And if you don't, or you do in a smaller fashion, that's cool. Because I'm trying to stay clean. And I have to do what I have to do. Period. And it's working for me. Although sometimes it gives me high blood pressure. Because I get upset. Because this program has saved my life. It's the only reason I have what I have today. Okay, so, obviously, I have a few character defects. If you haven't picked up on that just during this little conversation we've been having, you'd just give your sponsor a call, I'm sure. So, I'll never forget. See, I went to my first meeting on August 11, 1985. I was not an addict. I was an observer. My sister had gotten clean on May 21st, 1985, and of course, the day she got out of treatment, she started calling me and telling me how bad an addict I was and I needed to get clean. I don't know if any of y'all have had that experience with a friend or a loved one where they get clean and suddenly you have a drug problem. Yeah. So it took her 90 days to talk me into going to a meeting. And you want to know how she did it? There is this guy that secretaries our meeting. Oh, my God. And not only that, two of my home group members, 6'4", identical twin longshoremen. I was like, sign me up for this shit. Because let me tell you what, the man I was seeing was beating me and dragging me around by my hair. I thought this NA thing sounded pretty good. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, let that sink in. So she gets me to go to the meeting. And, you know, she says to me, now, Janet, they'll say in the beginning, is there anyone here new for the first time or visiting who would just like to introduce themselves by the first name? You don't have to say anything. Right? But obviously, right. It's all about me. I have a bumper sticker that says that. I love it. Like the guy who came to fix my window, he says, is yours the all about me car? I was like, so anyway, you know, everybody got there, and it was obvious to me that they all knew each other, and I was the only person who was new, and when they said, is there anyone new, they were all going to turn and look at me. So I said, hi, my name's Janet, and I'm here to listen.
Wow.
And the speaker says, well, listen good, honey. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm a bar fight kind of babe. I'm a grab you by the face and hit you with my cool cue kind of girl. Listen good, honey. And, of course, I married that man. Yeah, we went out for the meeting after the meeting. And he says to me, you know, after we've been at Denny's for like an hour and a half, my sister's there, I mean, all the guys in the meeting, right? And he looks at me, we're leaving, and he says, honey, I want you to know he's got 3.5 years clean now. And in 1985, that was a lot of clean time. He was like a god. Come on now. It's true. I mean, the guy with probably the most clean time in my area had 5. So he says, let me tell you something, honey. I'm looking for a wife, and you're it. I know, I am all that. So you know, if I'm looking like this, and I just turned 50 last week, what I looked like at 26. So, how did I get off on this subject? Let me see. Anyway, so I end up going to a lot of meetings with this guy because, of course, I start dating him. You know, I mean, I've heard a lot of pickup lines. I'm a musician, so I've heard a lot of pickup lines in my days. You know, hey, baby, can I lick your knees? I got a bet with my buddies over there. That was one of my most memorable ones, yeah. I was like, I don't think so. But the marriage thing, because I'd already been married twice by the time I was 26.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't understand these women who can't find a husband. Between me and my mother and my sister, we've had 13. Now, I have to say, my mother has the good grace to let him die before she moves on. All right, I'm sorry. So anyway, I ended up going to a lot of meetings, and I remember my sister had about 6 months clean, and I was getting ready to get clean at that point, because my clean day is November 16th, 1985. And the topic was the sixth step, and she says, somebody called on her. She's got 6 months clean. She says, well, you know, I frankly don't think I have any defects of character. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, girl. I could point out a few. Right, little miss not clean. Well, 3 years later, I knew exactly what she was talking about. When I'm on my sixth step and I can't see any defects because I am a defect. See, I think there's only one defect. Fear. Everything we do acting out on fear, those are our shortcomings. That's what kills us, fear. Okay? I believe we only have one asset, and that's love. And everything we do that is based on love, you know that WWJD? Well, to me, it's what would love do? Because I'm, you know, have to find my own thing. And I was enabled to do that here in Narcotics Anonymous. So I think it's interesting in the Just for Today that there are three times as many pages devoted to the sixth step as to the seventh step. Did y'all read the Just for Today today?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. Valerie and I were digging on that now because it's on the seventh step. We humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. The topic of this is I understand. Okay, I just love that. It says, once we were entirely ready to have our character defects removed, many of us were entirely ready. That's when the trouble really starts. The more we struggle to rid ourselves of a particular defect, the stronger that shortcoming seems to become.
Yes.
It is truly humbling to realize that not only are we powerless over our addiction, but even over our defects of character. Finally, it clicks. The seventh step doesn't suggest that we remove our defects of character. Remember that God in the third step that we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to? The one that we've been developing a relationship to trust enough to work 4 and 5 and tell all that shit to some, you know, sweet little engineer baby that probably never did most of the things I did. But I had enough faith in Narcotics Anonymous, whether I had enough faith in her, to tell her everything that I could remember at that time. You know, come on, it's a process. So six, you know, the whole defect of character thing. And I remember saying to this woman, well, you know, I've been working, I hear this in a meeting, and I just want to run up, hug people. Just want to hug them. Well, I've been working on this defect. And I'm thinking, yeah, you have. Yes, you have, and we all know.
Yes.
We all know. And any of us who have worked the sixth step, we are loving you. Some of us from a distance. Because it's hard. I'm telling you what, six, you really find out who your friends are. Because those are the folks that stick with you while you hate yourself and everyone else. Okay, sometimes they can't be real close. Sometimes they have to love you from a distance. But they do. They don't give up on you. Do you know how many people use behind six? See, y'all think that people use behind 4 and 5. No, they get to 4 and 5 and they go, whew, all right, I can take a break. Well, they don't understand. They thoroughly work 5. They're already in the middle of 6. Okay? So, when I began to, you know, I'd talk to my sponsor about that sixth step. And see, I didn't write a list of defects. I don't believe in that. How am I supposed to decide when it's a defect and when it's an asset? Okay, because anger is both. Anger can make me stand up for myself so you don't stomp all over me and drag me around by my hair, okay? Anger is a defect when I throw all my husband's clothes out the second-story window into the front yard, okay? See what I mean? Pride can be both. Pride can keep me from standing up here and telling you how I feel. Or it can cause me to take a bath. So when is it an asset and when is it a defect? Well, it's whether love is running it or fear is running it. Okay? So I don't want a list, even though our sixth step and our step working guide ask you to do that, because you know, I think it's good to really get into it. But when I began to pray and ask God to take away whatever it was, all of a sudden, I was seeing some progress for the first time. I'm like, damn, I actually did not bitch slap that woman. I still thought about it. But I didn't do it. Anyway, my time's up. I don't want to cut into Valerie's time, and I could just go on. So I just want to thank the committee for having some faith in me and inviting me to share. And I want to thank you all for being here and loving me these years when I'm controversial and these years when I'm hurting. So thanks. I'll keep coming back.
Permanent Addict, my name is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Our second speaker on the seventh step, seventh tradition is Valerie from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Valerie. My name is Valerie, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Valerie.
Thank you, Janet. You did such a wonderful job. We basically have the same amount of clean date, November 16th, November 17th for me, but 1985 for you and 1989 for me, because in 85 I wasn't tired. I haven't surrendered yet. When they asked me to talk about the seventh step, automatically a whole lot of butterflies just set in and like, I have nothing to share about the seventh step. I haven't been humiliated. I don't have, you know, right now dealing with nothing. And I sat down and I thought about it and I realized that I was separated from my husband. I moved out. I had surgery. I was angry. I felt abandoned. I felt rejected. So, yeah, go ahead and sign me up for that, because I have a lot of stuff I need to talk about right now. You know, the feeling lonely being in a relationship. How can you, and I thank God on a regular basis, how can you be in a relationship with somebody and you feel that, you know, that you get the vows and you get the words and to death do you part and all this good stuff, but they are over there and you are over there. And somebody is willing to participate and the other one isn't. And you try to be a part of the relationship or a part of the marriage and you're not getting back what you're putting in. What a humiliating feeling. For the past year and a half, I have been trying to reconcile my relationship and to no avail. It's like I'm doing the work, but I'm not getting any results. So I'm angry and I'm fearful and I'm hurt and I'm telling people how I feel. And sometimes I just lay in the bed and I just cry. And somebody came up to me and said, you need to stop saving face and you need to learn how to share how you really feel. And I said, she ain't in the bed with me when I'm crawling up in the fetus position. How can she actually, you know, because it takes a while to get up when you cried all night and your eyes is red and they puffy and you got to curl your hair and you got to put your makeup on and you are in the mix of pain. It takes a while to get yourself together to put a face on, to present and act as if you're okay. And acting as if gets you by just a little bit until one more time you by yourself and you got to deal with those feelings again. When my sponsor did my fifth and sixth step with me, I had to ask her, what is humility? I've never heard that. I was shooting dope. I never knew what humility was. All I know is that, I was hurt. I was angry. What is the shortcoming? What is the card, the defect? All this new stuff that I was getting coming in recovery, it was foreign to me. So I asked, what? And then she said, it's something that you have to embrace. Should I embrace fear? Should I embrace isolation? Should I embrace being angry and hurt? So how do I get through it? Nobody is holding my hand to walk me through this process, so you're going through it alone. And this is the moment when you're going through it, when you rekindle your relationship with the God of your understanding. And I had to cry at times, and I said, God, what is it that you are trying to show me? What is it that you're trying to do for me? Because it appears that I have been in the way, but now I'm willing to surrender these character defects over to you. I no longer want to feel the way I felt. And all last night, I, you know, took a moment by myself and I told the females to leave. And I read all of this literature and trying to get, you know, some clarity on, you know, what I should say. And, you know, and I said, well, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to say something real good and real profound so they can buy the tape and take it home and share it with. You don't know what you're going to say when you, you know, when you up here and I do not want to be superficial. I do not want to be artificial. And the only way that I can not feel like that is to drop the image and the mask and get real.
Let's do that.
There are times when I can be real self-centered. I can be real arrogant. When I first came in recovery, November 17th, 1989, people was giving me suggestions on what I should and shouldn't do, and I told them, I'm from 123 K Street Southeast. That's the shack down by New Jersey Avenue. You don't tell me what to do. I don't know anything about suggestions, but you're not going to order me and tell me to do what you want me to do. And in 85, I went back out because I wasn't open-minded to change. And I stayed out for 4 months and came back in 89 because I had to do some more work because I didn't understand the process. Now, mind you, I'm the ninth child in my family, and I'm the youngest. Well, I'm the eighth, but I'm the youngest girl. Mind you, my oldest brothers and sisters are older than me. My mother wasn't ever around because she liked to hang out in the beer gardens in my oldest sisters and my brothers, we fought like we didn't know each other. We threw lamps and ashtrays and fighting each other as if we weren't kin. And I wonder what kind of family would want to beat each other up the way that we did. You know, me witnessing my oldest sister being stabbed by my other sister and being placed in intensive care. And I had to go get her out the hospital and bring her home with her bloody clothes. So I had a real issue with dealing with women. And I also watched my brother get stabbed by my mother's boyfriend. And he drank because he never could heal. And he died as a direct result. So I had a lot of feelings going on in my life coming up as a child. What kind of life, what kind of family am I a part of? I was the type of child that isolated a lot. You know, I fell off a bicycle one time and ran and hid in the closet because I didn't want to get a beating. And stayed in there, and I cut my leg real bad, and I stayed in there, and I was afraid to go to the hospital because I thought my mother was going to beat me because I had no business being outside. So fear set in at a real young age, and it has implemented and infiltrated my life for so long that sometimes I wonder, when is it going to pass? I said, God, what is it? You know, I've been working real hard trying to be the best woman that God want me to be. And there are moments when I'm alone and I don't like me. I don't like myself. And I heard you share about some of the things, Jane, Janet. And it's always work to do. It is an ongoing process, and when you think you're done, there is something else that's going to kick up, and you got to work on that too. I've also read in the seventh step that we uncover the basic defects of our character. An attitude of humility means that we have a realistic view of ourselves and our place in the world. And a seventh step means understanding our role in our own recovery, appreciating our strength and limitations, and having faith in a higher power greater than ourselves. The third step taught me how to do that. And I'm so grateful that I had a sponsor that guided me through the steps, because you can't do this by yourself. You have to have someone that has the working knowledge of the 12 steps that give you an understanding of what the process is. And I bucked with my sponsor a lot, and I actually see some of the same behavior in the ladies that I sponsor, and I be trying to tell them, don't buck change, you know. Even though change is uncomfortable, and there are moments and times when, you know, I don't want to do it right now kind of attitude, you have to surrender over, you know, how you used to be. When I was using, I was the type of person that I got locked up 3 times, had one experience with overdosing, been institutionalized 3 times, and I didn't really surrender until 89, and I was glad that I was introduced by way of somebody telling me that I needed help to the program of Narcotic Anonymous, because I didn't think I was tired. First 2 times when I went into treatment, I had put some beer away and hid them in the vegetable bin, and the second time I had a check when I got back home from treatment, and I went back to using again, and this time was I went in for me, and enough was enough. I am right now, I came to the convention this weekend because I needed to do a moment away. Like I said, I was going through some things with my husband, and we didn't leave in a good way, and I called today to try to make amends, and he didn't answer the phone. And on my way down here, we were listening to a song. What was the song, Aletha? It's a Thin Line Between Love and Hate.
Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that.
And the part that took me was bandits from feet to head. Just that much from being dead. Didn't think the woman would do that to me. Didn't think the girl had the nerve. But they left out the part, the shackles and the handcuffs, calling and asking y'all to bring a meeting and some canteen. Because you're going to jail.
Yeah.
So I had to keep that. I had to put that in my mind because, you know, I wanted to choke him before I left to come to the convention. And I said, no, let me go on and do what I need to do and process my feelings and feel the humility and deal with the acceptance and go on in spite of and make amends when you don't want to. If you don't answer the phone, you've done your part. You know, and I'm still thinking about it's the thin line. But I keep up front about the shackles. So I try so hard to try to get it right. Because y'all told me and gave me some principles that I have to get it right. Because I'll be somewhere locked up, because I know how I can really be. My son told me a couple of weeks ago, Mom, you changed. You ain't the thorough woman that you used to be. He said, you turned into a punk. I said, well, don't tell me that. But I'm glad that he see that his mother has made a change in her life. Because I had a kidnapping and armed robbery charge. I know how to put them in the back of a trunk. And transport you to one destination to another. All this kind of stuff, you know what I'm saying? It's just in my head and I'm like, it's a thin line. So I said, God, you move this thought out of my mind. Let me get back to the woman you want me to be. And when I go back home, I just got to show some unconditional love and be loving and caring. Me and that punk. Dang. I really want to act out. I really do. I really want to act out. I really want to bust out some windows. I really want to flatten some tires. I really want to do some stalking. I really want to find out who and what it is. Haven't done it yet. It's not necessary. And when I go to bed at night and the person ain't beside me, I just say, God, put your arms around and bring them home safely. And turn over and go to sleep. Say my prayers. Because I keep in mind that I got a DCID number. So the humility that I'm sitting still with is acceptance. The only person that I can change is me. As bad as I think, because you supposed to, as I say. But who am I? I have a program. They don't. And it bothers people when they see that you're working on something. They cannot accept that. You ain't acting out. Not today. Not today. No. I came too far to actually allow a person to see who I used to be. Because that person that I used to be took me places I didn't want to be.
Right. Right, man. What?
But sometimes, but God keeps saying, nope. You got to deal with it. You got to accept it. And when I have to sit still, it ain't comfortable. It's not. But I sit still and I go through. And I grow up. And guess what? I can share with the next person how I got through. And a lot of them can't believe it. Because of the person that I used to be. I ain't that woman no more. I'll be a punk. But I won't be in jail. If I got to cry until my tear ducts dry up, I'm going to cry. So I got to keep up front, people ain't my problem. I am my own worst enemy.
Yes.
And I get me in trouble all the time.
That's thinking.
And I need to learn how to keep my mouth shut. Because I don't always have to say something.
That's right.
Just shut up. Be quiet. Sit down. Now, how humiliating is that? When you always got something to say. So I have to be humble. And I have to thank God for the spirit of humility. And I have to embrace it even when I don't want to. Even when it feels uncomfortable. Sometimes you have to walk away. Sometimes you have to be a better person. Sometimes you have to be the bigger person. All I can say, marriage is wonderful. I love it. Because I never would have thought that I would be as mature as I am now. And at moments, Like I said in the beginning, people envy the fact that they see you outgrowing them. And they get afraid because they believe that they are going to lose you. I was a willing participant in the beginning, and I'm going to be a willing participant in the end. Because the God of my understanding is greater than me. And I'm going to keep being obedient to the Spirit because I like being the woman that I am now. Now, mind you, I never cheated. I'm a good wife.
Yes, you are.
I thought about it. Even looked at some prospects. Hey. But they say you can look at the menu, but you don't have to order. And if you don't want that to happen to you, then don't do it to nobody else. Because I've experienced that, messing with somebody else's husband. And I think I'm reaping the benefit of that. And it's okay. Because I'm being the woman that God wants me to be. Now, the PI path, that what the basket is for, a lot of times we came in recovery. I'm going to fight Paul. And when we came in recovery, we didn't have no money. We lied, we stole, we cheated, you know. And the program of Narcotic Anonymous is showing us how to give it back. Because all we did was take, 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 take. So when they pass the basket, if you can't put nothing in, don't take nothing out. The basket is for the literature, bringing meetings to H and I, paying your rent, buying the donuts for the group, coffee, DSR. That's what the basket is for. This pamphlet will give you information. What is this? PI number 24? On what we do with our money. Because it's the group money. It's not our money. Not money that we take and put in our pockets and pay out a mortgage and rent and car note and, you know, cell phone bill. Because we as addicts have problems with taking stuff. And we think it's ours. And my home group is a women's rap group at 2146 24th Place Southeast. Northeast. Women's rap group. All is welcome, all females. So please bring a friend. We have our business meeting at the end of the month. That's when we decide to pass out the money to pay for our expenses. And we have a format. GSR, secretary, treasurer. We sit down and we issue the money out. And we always have donuts, so women, please come. You know. Anybody that want to pick up a couple of pounds, we get the donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. We have hazelnut coffee as well. So we try to treat the women that come in, you know, we always get a lot of newcomers, and we try to make sure that they are comfortable. Because, you know, we didn't eat too much when we was using, but we use the money to pay our expenses in our group. And there are times when we pass the basket around twice when we're having events. I guess my 5 minutes is up. My name is Valerie, and I'm an addict, and I'll keep coming back.